Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's your boy, Dr. LaRosa D. Smith, known as some as Coach Smith and Dr. Lowe, the host and owner of WBSW Internet Talk Radio. We're going to have an awesome time through all our programmatic thrust. Just to get ready to have a ball, because that's what it's all about. We're going to give two claps. We're going to make it do what it do.
My, we're going to make it do what it do, and that's what it's all about. I'm Dr. LaRosa D. Smith, the host of the Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. We're just going to talk about grassroots issues. Just talk about what's happening in the neighborhood. But Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood is the real grassroots talk show that focuses on issues in our neighborhood block by block. Let me say that again. Issues in our neighborhood block by block. What issue you have in your neighborhood? We have a lot of things going on. It's becoming more of so at war with one another instead of loving one another. Because, see, God blessed us to have another opportunity to come before you. Because, see, I give him the praise because he's the head of my life. And some people stand and say that, but I truly, truly know he's the head of my life. I operate based on him moving me from place to place, not what I do. See, I follow the command. I do as I'm supposed to. Now, is that you? And that's what it's all about. Now, we want you to be a part of the show. You can call in and be a part of the show. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Repeat that, 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. You can chat with me and identify in your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Ask for your location if you choose to give your name. Then offer your comments, your expertise, and just your questions if you have. Now, if you want to check us out on the web, you can, www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. Now, if you want to email the show, you have that great opportunity to do that, but we're going to share with you the email opportunity that you have. You can go to WBSW Internet Talk Radio with the number 22@gmail.com, and you'll feel comfortable tweeting. Tweet the show at WBSW_internet_talk_radio, at the Smith Way Production, at Lorenza D. Smith 15. Then on Instagram, we're proud and happy to have a partnership with the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. This is just dear to my heart to know that the Brothers of Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10 have this Instagram account, and they want to make sure we can connect and get things out. So thank you to Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Again, that's Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville with the number 10. Also on Instagram, you can check us out at Lorenza D. Smith 15, at WBSW_internet_radio, at Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. And finally, you have a great opportunity to check us out at Smithway Productions. So we've given you several ways to connect with us. And it's a pleasure to be able to come in for you. Now, we're also being broadcast on Facebook. That's facebook.com/DRLDalbertoSmith. So if you're friends with me, then you get ways to get around, just check it out. We want you to check us out and just see what's going on, what we're trying to share. This vessel is here for you. We go back to 2017 with September. God bless me with a vision to do something different. You know, make a difference in the lives of people by having something available so they can get the word out. So this, we envisioned this. We started off with a sports talk show. Then we moved to just a social and talk show that focused on social issues, economic issues, educational issues. Then we moved forth and we had relationships. And we took a step up and we just had tell the truth. We just want you to be honest. Then we moved to talking about our neighborhood. And that's what it's all about. Right now, we're real excited. Now, the last time we broadcast, it was 419 episodes. Now, we're 420 episodes. You see how God is? God is awesome. He brought us from just having one episode to 420 episodes. See, God is good. He blessed us with an opportunity to make a difference. Now, if you want to check us out, I just mentioned Facebook. If you want to go back and check out the broadcast, you can go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, for Google Plus, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and we have a YouTube channel called The Smith Way Production. Now, we are excited because we have listeners and watchers all over the world. WBSW Internet Talk Radio is being broadcast in 18 countries. See, that's a pleasure. That's a joy. We're rejoicing because we definitely want to be broadcasting in the United States, but to be able to step outside of the United States, north of the border is there, Canada, large listening body. South of the border, we have Mexico. You can step over to Dubai. You can step over to France. You can step over to the UK. Those are the countries, and in many others, in the Caribbean countries as well, Caribbean islands, we're so glad to be able to be broadcast over there. See, God is so good. See how he's blessing us? But you have to be humble now. And when he blessed us with a topic, a title of something we need to talk about, we're going to do that. We're going to share. You might not do it the way everybody else do, but you draw your own conclusion. We want to give a shout-out to some of the watchers right now, as well as listeners. We have Sierra Washington. Thank you, Sierra, for joining us at this time on Facebook. Then we have Miss Bush, EBS, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, my sister of the Blue and White family. Got to give an awesome, awesome introduction to her, because those Zetas are making things happen. Fine old woman today. So thank you so much, Miss Bush, EDS, for taking time. We have many others begin to join us. And as soon as you come on, I'm going to make sure I broadcast and let everybody know you're joining us now. On Blog Talk Radio on the board, we see several people calling in. We just ask you, when you call in, using the call in number 347-857-412-4192, press 1. And make sure you're prepared when I say you are now live after calling out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Give us a location. If you don't want to give your name, that's fine. Give us a location. We're charting everything to see where we're being broadcast, where the listeners are, as well as the watchers. And then we'll ask you to share your thoughts and chat with Dr. Louisa D. Smith from the Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. Offer your comments, expertise, whatever it may be. Just want you to share your thoughts through the best. We give a shout out to my friend, brother, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. That is Daryl Baker. He's MCD Baker underscore 1848. We give a wave to your brother Baker. Thank you so much for joining us. Member of Epsilon Theta Sigma chapter out of Hingville, Alabama. Thank you so much, brother Baker, for taking time to check us out. We want to focus on our title, which is something I think we need to continue to talk about. We started a series about 4 months ago talking about how to prepare our boys for a healthy relationship. We're expanding that to identifying some things from being just a overgrown boy, a grown male, to moving to be a grown man and moving to a mature man. We have also focused on our females, understanding being a girl, an overgrown girl at times, and then moving forward to a grown female, to moving to a grown woman, then moving to a mature woman. And those are the things. Now we're moving in another direction. But we're focusing on, again, our boys and our men and our community. Because we didn't have an opportunity to talk about fathers and father figures. We didn't talk about mothers and mother figures. We didn't talk about any individual who's impacting your life to help you move in the right direction. Someone who's modeling what's right. We need that in our community. We need individuals to take upon themselves to say, let me make a difference. If it's in the organization or the Divine Nine, I challenge you to be more vigilant in the community. Be more available to help our boys and our girls be better individuals. Because we need it. It takes a whole village to raise just one child. So I want you to truly realize an organization, we come together as a divine nine, and we want to make a difference in the community. Let's focus on being able to model for our young people. Let's focus on setting trends so our young people, as well as adults, can move into the direction of success. We want them to be positive in the community. So our title for the show today is 2021 Trends That Helps Black Men Transform. You might say, why do we need to transform? We're talking from our first title about preparing boys and girls for healthy relationships. See, because you're eventually going to be a man. And these days in the 2020, we have a lot have occurred, especially during 2020 with the pandemic. And we had social injustice. We had protests. We have government involvement more in the lives of all of us. Now is what trend is set forth before us. What are we going to focus on? How can we help black men transform to be a major impact in our community? We're going to start block by block. We'll give a shout out to Minister Denise Stephanie. She's joining us out of Berkeley, California. She'll be on our show Monday night on Talking Real to You Primetime, aired at 7:30 Central Standard Time, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, and for the Pacific Coast where Minister Denise is located, it'll be 5:30. So we're going to have an awesome time. She's going to be talking about behind the mask. Her ministry is behind the mask, taking that mask off, taking that mask off. What's behind the mask? Behind the mask ministry. She's going to talk about taking the mask off. So let's look at the 2021 trends that helps black men or boys transform. We're going to start off with what's going on in our community, the diversity that our black population or our black men are encountering. See, in the United States, it is really diverse. Things are beginning to change based on historical things that occurred in our nation. You know, we are, as blacks, black Americans, we're descendants of enslaved people. So we have come a long way. We have transformed into a major production and providing opportunities in our communities. So I want you to understand, we said there's a trend happening, but we want the trend to help black men transform even more in our communities. See, we have to remember that we went through many transformations from the 1700s to where we are today. The gender that faced the most challenges is black men. See, no one wants to talk about that. But I'm going to talk about it because I am a black man. And I know of the historical aspect, not because of reading books, because I had ancestors who passed it on. I can go as far as back to 1840 and say this is where the clan called the Bolden Clan, that I'm a descendant of, and all we went through on the Bolden Plantation to get where we are today. So we want to know all the transformation that occurred, but in the form of trends to kind of see what's going on. See, the population, as we know in the United States, is growing each day to be more diverse. And we have to address many of the problems that we see in our community. According to Christine Tamir, 46.5%
5.8 million people in the United States is identified as black. Listen, that's 46.8 million people in the United States identify themselves as black. Think about a population of 348 to 350 million people in the United States, and we are 46.8%. And if you begin to kind of look at how we stand with our black men as of today, we're going to get to the point using data that's from Christine in relation to the national population of black, or you said African American. We're going to look at what's happening as of 2019. We know the census is being calculated, recalculated, done, everything is being done to it. They said you can go find the numbers if you go look throughout this system. But I want you to understand, truly understand, we want to know what the real numbers are. And we want to see exactly what are the numbers in relationship to black Americans. As of 2019, based on the research by Christine Tumar, and it's about 14%. 14% of the national population are said to be black or black American. In comparison to 2000, it's amazing how the numbers seem to not change. We have 14% of the national population in 2019 that are black. In 2000, it was only 13% of the population. So we have increased 1%. However, we have to realize that it's so important that we continue to be a village. The trend, number one trend, is we all got to go back to the grassroots. We have to go back and begin to help one another. I don't have the answer to how we may do that. But what I want to share from my own personal experience, the only way we can help one another to continue to prosper and grow not only 1% of the population, but be able to expand to 20 to 30% of the population. It's easier for numbers being presented. People do this, it says, about 40% of the population is people of color. Okay, it's fine. But we're going to focus on what is the black population. I'm giving you these numbers. You can research up and find out what is happening. Because there's a trend. Yes, it's diversity because we have interracial relationship and international migration that is all going on here in the United States. However, it seems that we are losing more of our population to whatever it may be in some form or fashion. To only increase over 20 years to be 1%. Just 1%. So we need to go back and focus on the grassroots. We need to make sure the trend is increasing in the manner of seeing in the manner that we are being able to be impactful in our communities, especially our black men. We got to really reach down and help them. I know somebody is easy and heard people say this, well, they may not want no help. You don't know until you ask.
Don't base it on somebody else giving you information. Truly, we had to get down to the grassroots. That means we're going back to the neighborhood. We're going to go back and actually become face-to-face to find out what help do you need, black men. What help do you need to take the role that you should have in our culture? We want to have that as a trend by going back, helping to make sure, going back, listening, going back, communicating, and giving an opportunity to let those individuals who are have been identified in that category where they're not growing, they feel certain institutions, and we want to be able to find out what's going on. And you have to take off your armor of, I don't live here no more. Take off your armor of, I ain't going on that side of town no more when you came from that side of town. I'm not saying all of you, but I can only speak for myself. And I know they always, I'm saying, when we're talking about individuals who want to stigmatize areas in your city, seems like you always take the west side and say that's the bad side. What we have to keep in mind, that trend has to stop, because we have to go back to our neighborhoods, whether we through our organization or whether we through our churches, and our community action groups, and go back and make changes. Go back and help to further change. Sometimes we get caught up in living on the other side, because we in a ride. The other side is on a ride. Now we're talking about changing a trend, where the west side and a lot of cities are becoming the bad side, because people, it's easier to label that so you don't have to invest in it, or have you as a person of color to not invest in your own people. It's a lot easier to do that. So as we see diversity occur in our population, we still have to remember where we come from. We have to remember the work that was done. There's a lot of work done that put us in a position to change the United States. We've been there through inventions. We've been there through hard work. We've been there through all the things that they tried to endure upon us. We just didn't give up. We're still grinding. So I'm saying, don't give up now, my brothers and sisters. Don't let that trend that's being put out there confuse all of us or create a fear in us that we can't help one another. Well, I tell you, it ain't easy. You got to make your mind up. So I challenge all the D9. I challenge all the church. I challenge all the community action groups. I challenge every group that say they're here to make a difference, to go out and make a difference, especially with our black men. Let's transform them. Let's look at some challenges that are facing black men in 2021. See, there's a lot of challenges. However, for us to be successful in the future, we have to make sure we begin to set certain goals in our community, especially for our black men. That's where we go back to training a child the way you want him to go, even if he's straight from the past. You always come back to where that foundation is. Keep that in there. Shout out to Miss Gulf Coast, I'm sorry, Mississippi Gulf Coast Sigmas. Thank you, my brothers on fire, be the single attorney. I'm banging it out in that Biloxi area, Biloxi, Mississippi. My brothers down there where our deceased and transitional regional director, southern regional director, Kevin Blubber, out of that Biloxi area, who was my vice regional director and became the regional director how I was, a five-minute signal fraternity incorporated. He's looking down on you in the Gulf Coast, looking out on Biloxi. Let's look at something that is glaring to us in our communities and the challenges that our black men are dealing with. There's been a little talk recently about classes. See, we it slowly began to trickle into our way of life. When I say classes, they're talking about people being in certain classes. But it's based on economics. You know, you either gonna be in the lower class, lower economic class, you're going to be in the middle, lower class, or you're going to be on the middle class, or you're going to be on the upper middle class, or you're going to be in the upper class. What we really have to focus on is not allowing to get to something I heard recently, the have and the have-nots. It's all right where we can, because if we got a class and we want to move up, we got an opportunity when we in our at our grassroots level put things in place to help our men or help our culture grow. So let's look at truly how we're going to have to fight that so-called middle class or a class system. We have to be prepared to come up with ways to address race, prosperity, and inclusion. Those are three things we need to make sure we focus on. We must create a new deal to help our black men, help black individuals in general. We have to focus and prioritize race to let everybody know we're not going to allow this to be the determining factor on whether you hire me or don't hire me. It's not going to be the determining factor that you can stereotype me because of my color of my skin. We're going to make sure we have everybody thinking about a new deal. The new deal includes focusing on or centered around children and families. That's the new deal. And I want everybody to keep in mind, that's what we're talking about at the grassroots. That's what we're talking about block by block. We're going to go and work on, focus on the family. We're going to focus on our children because we can get them prepared to deal with anything that comes out of so-called a classing system, whether it's based on race or not. We want our young people, our boys, as well as our girls, to grow up to be men knowing that there's a new deal out there for them. So we'll call this one, since we're talking about black men and helping black men transform, we got to create what we call a new deal, an opportunity to address race, an opportunity to address prosperity through economic growth. Is an opportunity to address crime through putting in things in place to make sure, what he said, it's fair. See, they say that our justice system is blind. We know that's not always true. It may be blind to certain races. And what we're going to have to make sure, we look toward prosperity and make sure there's some reform in criminal justice, making sure that we tackle many of the problems in our community like poverty. See, we have to look for prosperity
And prosperity means addressing things that we know that is creating the backlash in our community. We must focus on family policies. We got to focus. Now, you know, we're going to get back to the grassroots. We're going way back. This is what we're talking about, the challenges and what we need to address. The challenge we know is that we're struggling because we've been labeled to not succeed. And at some point, we didn't allow that to just guide us. And what we want to do is not let that guide us. Because we got a new deal, not only just for black men, but for all black Americans. It's a new deal. And that new deal includes not only family policies, especially with the fathers, but also include addressing the labor market. Also making sure there's the policy makers when they're making policies in the field of education and training. We got to make sure they're intentionally going to give us an opportunity. We cannot allow individuals to create policies that exclude black Americans and especially black men. We have to make sure that we focus on tackling all the concentrated poverty issues we have. We have to actually get together. Like I saw this weekend, several groups locally was out in the community cleaning up the community. Last year, remove it from being a sore eye. Just to the point where it would be an eye of beauty to watch and look at. Let's make sure we're willing to do that. We need to tackle these problems in our community. We have to tackle the gun violence. We have to tackle the sex trafficking. We got to tackle the drugs. We got to tackle everything that causes us not to grow to the level we need to grow our prosperity. That's what we have to make sure we do. So as we have in our mind a new deal, see, it's time for a new deal. There's a lot of things coming out, all the billions of dollars coming out that we're going to do, change the infrastructure and gave you a stimulus package and gave you a tax credit and gave you everything. But what we need to make sure this funds coming out is to improve our educational system in our schools, improve training opportunities for our young people and for our men. Make sure the labor market don't push us out. We have to understand what's going on. We have to understand investment. We have to understand finance. Making sure our family policies are in place. To understand that we have to have both parents involved. I didn't say both parents got to live there, but they can be involved. Making sure your child has an opportunity to succeed. Criminal justice reform. We have to make sure we talk about it. We need to be at the table to talk about reform. We have to make sure those individuals at the table are ones that are listening and can make a difference by getting together with us. The next thing that we need to make sure in this new deal is we're going to focus directly on education. Being that based on the Brookings Institute and the National Center of Educational Statistics, in 2019, 28% of black men ages 25 to 29 had a bachelor's degree or higher, compared to black women's, which is 30%. And then there's 40% for white men. And nearly the same number for white women. We're going to have to close that gap. See, the gap can continue to get greater when we have more males from the ages of 19 to 29 attending that higher institution of survival called the penal system or the correctional system than we have attending college. You got to be important that we put education first. We have to demand that we have schools that are being underserved, be served. We have to go into it because they're in our neighborhoods, and we're going to take them block by block. Be mentors. Be involved. See, I said something earlier about being intentionally involved. See, if we want to be successful in our community, we have to intentionally be involved with our education. We have to make sure of that. See, as we set back, the gap get wider. We was looking at, and this is from the National Center of Education, statistics. Black men have a master's degree at 4%. 4%. 4%. Say it again, 4%. Black women at 9%. As somewhere we're there with the majority, which is white men is 8%, and white women is 13%. We have to make education a priority. We have to demand better schools. We have to demand individuals in a school give their greatest effort. We don't want to sell our young black men, our young black individuals short. We need to make sure the poorly served schools not only just receive all the funding, but make sure we hold the individuals accountable. Because we're losing our young men. Sometimes it's truly not the place we want to go. That higher institution of learning called a correctional institution. There is going to be a backlash, and we have to make sure. The next area we want to make sure that we focus on in our New Deal and its challenge and all the things that we're encountering is upward mobility. You know, as I said earlier about having, want to create this economic class. That class, if you have the lower class, you have the lower middle class, and you have the middle class, you have the upper middle class, and you have the upper class. We have to really, truly focus on addressing some intergenerational mobility situations that's been happening, where we may even take a step up the ladder, but our pay at the next step of the ladder is as much as another race as they come in the door. We have to make sure that ladder is fair, that income ladder. See, we have to truly, truly demand that we get better pay, if not equal pay. That's what we want to focus on. So upper mobility is to move up from the lower class to the lower middle class or the middle class or the upper middle class or truly, truly be able to move up to the upper class. Nothing to say you couldn't make $1 million if that's what you desire. But have a plan of action and then act on that plan. We got to make sure we're in our community addressing situations that stifle our young men and our young women from moving upward. We don't want a lateral move. We want an upper move. That's what we want to have. So we have to make sure there's discussion, make sure we're at the table, and make sure what we get bring back to our communities, grassroots, and work on helping them move up the ladder. The next thing is earning. See, there's a lot of data about, and we know this, that black workers, regardless of their gender, always are paid less than white workers. We have to truly understand that this has to change. See, we have to make sure that everybody's given the same opportunity to be successful on that job and make it money to take care of their family. You know, recently, as you know, when the pandemic was in play, and the pandemic created a problem where we couldn't go to work. And we were finally able to go back to work after receiving the many opportunities financially from the government. Some people refused to go to work. But we, and this didn't come from everybody, it just came from certain individuals because they were looking to get them back to work. For them to help them make all the money, but you're paying them minimum wages, somewhere close to $8 an hour. You multiply that time 8 hours a day, and sometimes you can't get 20 hours. It's not a whole lot of work, my brother. And if that additional money came in, helped them, that may give them an opportunity to think about doing something different. Change of career, starting a business. All right, next thing we want to look at is the labor force participation. We got to make sure that black men at the age of 20 is and over is about 5.6% lower than for white men. This is the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics truly estimated. Because they make a note that this excludes the incarcerated population. See, we got to realize that we have to be a major part of the labor force. We must participate and get an opportunity to participate in this labor force. That's the key there, making sure we participate. We have to make sure. Next thing is unemployment, again, during the COVID-19 pandemic. Black men have the highest unemployment rate of civilian, non-institutionalized black and white men and women over the age of 20, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Again, each one of them I talked about, we are at the bottom, especially identifying black men who are, in a lot of cases, providing for their families. You're not getting a whole lot, not included, then you become excluded. Remember, we talked about inclusion. One of the things we know has to happen in the New Deal, to be included in what's going on, not excluded. The next thing is life expectancy. We know that what they say in regards to when people talk, we got some data to support it, that women live longer than men. It's on average now. But there's a big race gap as well. Life expectancy is lowest for black men among black and white people, according to the CDC, National Center for Health Statistics. So you can see that we're not living that long. In a lot of cases, some of us are working so hard, we're working ourselves to them. So we have to be able to be a part of the earning discussion, part of the labor force discussion, part of the unemployment when it does occur. See, the idea, they said, the unemployment office should be the employment office. We probably need to adjust that. The life expectancy is so important. When you're stressed out
trying to take care of your family, put pressure on you, and it leads to other health issues. Besides this thought process that a lot of men have, that black men have, that, you know, I give it hurt me a little bit, I can still keep moving. And I think that has been one of the biggest challenges there. But to have someone that's in your life that say, you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the doctor. Won't change things that you think it should change. So we have to keep that in mind when we're talking about some challenges dealing with black men. Remember something that we so and still going through, and I want to talk about briefly about this COVID-19 death. Seems like black men has been the most likely among black and white Americans to die of COVID-19 at a rate of 2.4 times that of white men's. That's according to the CDC data through July 2020. The figures that the CDC put out, that 80 of 100,000 black men in the United States has died of COVID-19 by July the 4th of 2020. So black men are more likely to die from COVID-19. Let's make sure in our homes that we talk to our significant others, our parents, especially their black men, about making sure we go to the doctor. This COVID attack situation where you may have took for granted, it attacks that. We have to keep that in mind. Criminal justice, as we know, we need that reform because you know that black men face a much higher chance of being incarcerated according to the Bureau of Justice data. I don't need to read off the numbers. Give a shout out to RSHAF58. Give you a wave, my brother. Thank you so much for joining us. We're just talking about things that we're being challenged, but in our new deal, we need to address and make sure we address so it won't become a trend that sticks with us, because it's 2021 and our title said trends that helps black men to transform. Once we know that, we must focus on making sure our black males are not leading the number of individuals being incarcerated out of all other races. We have to begin to start with our boys, working with our boys, become mentors, model positive things so they'll have a chance to move forward and be successful. That all will lead to, and I want you to keep in mind, when we're incarcerated and when we do get out, it's a lot of times harder to get a job. So we want to get them before, as boys, to get them to understand, we want you to be productive men so we're not incarcerated, so they won't be behind the eight ball. These things are things we have to focus on. Talk by 6 and 7 about COVID-19. We said, well, we're trying to get back to normal, but we don't know how long it's going to be, so we need to deal with it. And we need to do everything that needs to be done to make sure we protect our culture and protect the black men. The trend we want to set is that we're going to come together as a village to make sure one black man is successful. And if we can get one, that means many more will be successful. That's what we're talking about. That's the trend we need to be working on. The trend of being included, not excluded. And we have to make sure we include the men in the neighborhood, block by block. Can't expect anybody on the outside to do it. We have to do it there. And once we do that, we come together to support one another. And that way, everybody else will listen. But if we put them out there by themselves, it's easy to be conquered when it's division. So let's make sure we keep that in mind. Next thing we want to kind of focus on is a few things that we need to do in our culture, because we're down to right at about 10 minutes, and I want to make sure I cover a couple other things dealing with how we can save our black men and our boys. We talked about things that we know we need to look at, be wary of, saw the challenges, because each one of those eight areas are challenges. But let's look at some key policies that may truly be able to address the challenges that black boys and men faces. And we got to make sure we're ready to save them. And the challenges, as we said, about criminal justice reform, let's not talk about it, let's be about it. Let's use our opportunity that we have a voice through whatever organization, social organization you have, or whatever community organization you have, that you speak out. We must address the social issues and problems affecting black boys and men. There must be significant reform with our criminal justice system. It must be. We can't sit back and wait till the next time something happened, then we become reactive. We have to continue to be proactive. We have to demand our leaders, our politicians, our organizations, whether they are Divine Nine or just a community organization, we got to do it. Our churches, we have to do more to make sure we address this issue. Because they were here as we all come together. But if we scatter, they will not be able to hear. When I say those are the people who are making the decision, the people who have the money to invest, the people we need to address, we need to make sure we come together. Improving our educational system. We're talking about saving our boys and saving our men. We must improve our education system. We need to have great opportunities for our black males and the black boys and black men so they can be successful. We need to keep them where they're believing from as a boy that, you know, we're going to work through school and not let these certain stigmas that's in the youth time where, you know, girls are smarter than boys. You have to be careful when you say that. I'm telling everybody here, be careful when you say that, because a lot of boys take that serious. You don't think I'm smart, so all I'm going to use is my brute strength. See, what we have to do is make sure boys rock just like girls rock. Make sure men rock just like women rock. We have to make sure we come together and make sure our educational system is doing its job. Hold them accountable. Do not sit back and let them destroy the mind of our young men and our young boys or our black men. Do not let it be an intimidating place for our boys to go, because it's taking statistical data from third graders that said how many beds we're going to need in our correction institution. That's crazy, man. That is crazy. Based on that, because by the fourth grade, black boys are very competitive. And their competitiveness and excitement sometimes have those individuals that don't understand them, meaning that teachers a lot of times place them in situations that they can label them and easy to get them out of the classroom. Everybody got to be with it. If you don't understand, ask somebody. If we want to improve our education system, everybody that's in the education system, whether you're serving an administrator, whether you're serving as a staff, serving as a teacher, you must understand what is going on and how we can improve. Because it's not working. You know, to the point where our boys are going, they go to school and may get in a little trouble, get out where they can operate, and it's always held against them that they got a felony. Yeah, remember, with a felony record, face limited access to student loans, federal student loans. We have to talk and have good examples when we're young. When they're young, so when they do that. So I want you to truly consider those couple of things, that reforming our criminal justice, and hold tight on it. Don't give in. And don't give up. Hold your politicians and your senators and your House of Representatives, your mayors, your city councilman, town council accountable. Ask them, say, how can we help? We need to do this together because we're losing our young men and we need them in our community. We got to improve the employment rate and opportunity. Every time you read data, it's all about black men experience high unemployment rate. Something always that the black man is experiencing. And what we have to make sure that when we say we need changes, we need to make sure we address areas that will help our young men and help our boys to be successful, especially with education. We have to make sure we talk about health. We have to talk about health. It's important that you will get checked out. Make sure you keep up with the situation that occurred in your life in regards to your health. The next thing we have to make sure and demand, and don't have a problem by saying, is that education has to be the best for our young people, for our boys and our black men to succeed. Administration, regardless of what level administration, has to be able to be held accountable, and they have to be fair. Have no problem with firmness, but please be fair. We understand fairness, but have a problem with being mistreated. Making sure we have an opportunity to be able to articulate from our education through literacy. Has to be available all the necessary things that we need to be successful. Because when we don't have those things like addressing our health issues, education, administration, and literacy, we're going to lose our black men. We possibly already lost our boys. We got to focus on that. Last thing is a mentoring program, a mentorship program. We got to have that. Go into your organization, challenging each one of the organizations to look at getting mentoring program for black boys and men. You know, I didn't say black boys and men. It's like I always tell many organizations when they say they're having something for young, for girls, that they invite the mother. The mother can be there too. So there's something she can learn, and she might be willing to learn, but you never ask. So let's make sure we include them, which is for our community to continue with the strength and have a connection and success. We have to make sure our boys and our men is a vital part of that. Providing our young black boys with access to black role models, black male role models. This is going to benefit them. The way you carry yourself as a black man, somebody's watching you. Invest your time in by just doing what you do, what's right. You don't have to set special time because you're being observed, because you're in a model zone. You model every day, no matter what job you're in, or they see you. So you can be a mentor and not even know you're part of a mentoring program. Just keep in mind. What we have to also demand that our public policies focus on helping our young boys, helping our boys and our men be successful. Let's hold everybody accountable. See, we got to be willing to sponsor black boys and organizations. You can definitely make a difference in their lives by doing that. So a mentoring program will be the last thing that we want to focus on. It's been an awesome coming for you today. We're at the end, almost at the 2 o'clock hour. Now, what I want to say, thank you so much for each and every one of those individual joiners on Facebook. Hopefully, some of the trends that you saw that was occurring, what you already see, and how we can address those trends will set forth with you. Let's keep that in mind. Shout out for my fraternity brother, Mario. Thank you so much. Califaro. Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Minister Denise Stephanie. He'll be with us on Monday night at 7:30 our time, which is Central Standard Time, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, and she'd have a 5:30 kickoff. Thank you, Minister Denise, there for talking about behind the mask ministry, taking the mask off, and don't be afraid of what you see. A shout out also to Sierra Washington. Thank you for joining us as well. We have a list of other others on there as well. Ms. Bush, EDS, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Darrell Baker, Brother Darrell Baker, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Mississippi Gulf Coast Sigmas. In Biloxi area, I'm going to say Biloxi Gulfport. We'll give a shout out to your brothers for joining. R. Share 58, thank you so much, my brother, for joining us. We have Angela.co. And Angela, I'm trying to see your picture there. I'm just seeing what you have on it, but I can't see it well. But if you're a member of a Greek Rail organization, which I'm assuming I don't want to make the wrong assumption, you can give us a shout out. Thank you so much. Aaron.rev, Reverend Christopher Aaron Bennett. Joining us from Zeta Phi Sigma chapter in Greenville, Alabama. Thank you, Brother Bennett, for joining us as well. It's been awesome, my brothers. I'm telling you, and sisters, God bless you to have another opportunity. We'll see you for sure. We're coming back on Sunday at 3 o'clock. We tell the truth. The host, Christine Walters, will be here, and she'll be sharing some things about telling the truth. And our co-host, and help produce that show. That'll be 3 o'clock Sunday, p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just remember, we're trying to address what we're dealing with now. Things I've been talking about that black men have to deal with, and we can address these things, talking about COVID-19. It is alluding many to COVID-19. And I don't want to hear that back and forth about who's this and who's that. Our hashtag is One Life Matter. So wear your mask. Be responsible. Stay 6 feet apart. Making sure you do what's right. Stay at home. Carrying on that personal hygiene, washing your hands. And last, to make sure we all have an opportunity, if not you and your family have an opportunity, take the vaccine. Those are the things we want to address. Those are the things we want to make sure we do. And even if you don't, be prepared to not put yourself in positions that you might think that you're safe, but those other individuals may be carriers. And then you'll carry it back to your family. So make sure we all practice the protocols so we can have brighter days. I know we're in a hurry to get back. We're feeling spaces at 107,000 people on top of each other. And you see the everything's going on there. And I guess we think that we can make it through. But somewhere now, we want to make God please, if not please. So let's make sure we follow the protocol. Hashtag keep on grinding. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep grinding. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Are you going to make it do what it does? Truly, truly communicate with understanding, and that's what we're going to do. And also, I want to share with you that we'll be starting back with our raffle next week. We'll be putting names to get ready for that trip, because the winner of the last trip we had made their selection. They chose to go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So we do have the trip to Myrtle Beach available. That's what sponsors decided. I've been talking to them. They're going to throw something in for either Destin, Fort Walton, Orange Beach, or Jacksonville, or back at Myrtle Beach. We got sponsors working to do some things. So we'll let you know, but we're going to get started back with it next week. That'll be our third week, which is our show. That'll be on Monday. We'll have our Tuesday and Thursday 1 o'clock show. Our Monday show is 7:30. Let's talk with you. We'll have Minister Denise Stephanie as our special guest, share some awesome things at 7:30 our time, which is Central Standard Time. For her time, it's 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we look forward to having you here again with us on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Tell the Truth. Christine Ward will be talking about Tell the Truth. We give a shout out to Epsilon Ada Zeta. Beautiful ladies, Zeta 580 Sorority Incorporated. Thank you so much. We're going to give you a wave for taking time to be with us. We want you all to continue. And we will share some things on Sunday in regards to Telling the Truth, an awesome title and some awesome topics. So be with us on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Then we'll come back and have a regular week, third week of, we're going to have a show on Monday night at 7:30, which is Talk Real to You Prime Time. We have two shows on Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock. Then we'll come back. A show we will have on Wednesday night, which is our sports show. We're going to do it that way, and then we'll kind of rotate because some of the Thursdays are tight nights, so we'll be rotating to have it on Wednesday. So just keep with us. Back with us, we'll let you know when the change comes out. But it's been good being here before you. I truly thank all of those watchers and listeners for taking time. I'll make sure I give you a wave, and I think I'm not thinking about you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome. God has blessed us with one more opportunity to talk about how we can change the lives of our culture, block by block. It's an issue, and we want to address it. Thank you so much, man. I tell you, tell your family members, if you're around them and your friends, that you love them. If you can't tell them face-to-face, go virtual. Truly, truly take an opportunity to just give them a hug. If you can't physically get them a hug, go virtual. And as we always close our show, we tell them, you know, just tell them, let's truly tell them that you miss them over this time of the pandemic. And we'd like to see them, but we want to see them with the best caution as possible. We want to give a shout out to Sarah Nicole Sharon Brown. We're going to congratulate her on a new book. If you want to purchase this book, go to Amazon.com. Author Nicole Sharon Brown, she has a new book, Are You Still in Love with Who? That's part two. As I said, it's available on Amazon, Kindle, both paperback and ebook. In advance, Nicole said thank you. But just go to her Facebook page, Nicole Sharon Brown. She has 11, now 12 books available. Get with her, set it up. You can go to Amazon, find her books as well. But give her a shout out, support her. She's a writer, young artist, or writer, how you want to say it. And she's doing some great things with her book. But check her out. Give her a shout out. All the members of Zeta 580 Sorority Incorporated, those are 580 Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, give her a shout out. Be on Facebook with her. Try to purchase it. If not, just go to Amazon.com and look for Nicole Sharon Brown. Are you still in love with who? The question mark, part two. That's her newest book. You can get it on paper. You can get it paperback or ebook. Check out. As we close out, see, God has been so good one more time. He has brought us a mighty long way. So we're going to give him the shout of praise, which is hallelujah. And as we close out, I want to truly tell you how I feel, because it's coming from the heart. See, it's a mindset for me, and that's the hashtag. Always remember, our mindset is to love you. My mindset is to be there for you. My mindset is to make sure this vessel is available for everyone, because God is in charge. He got this, and I know he does. Look forward to talking with you on Sunday. You have an awesome rest of the evening. And I just want to just truly, truly say it like I always say. To the three L's is learning, learn, live, say let go. People love to love. Because you have to make that decision. You love somebody, let them go too. You love somebody, live with them. You love somebody, learn from them. That's what it's all about. But I want to tell you, my heart goes out to all of y'all. I love each and every one of you all. I'm saying and giving a sign. but I'm going to give you the shout that I always give. Because, see, before I let you go, I want you to know, truly, truly, truly,